Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today.
It's good morning. It's a good time. Greg asked me to introduce a special person this morning who's going to be speaking to us this morning, going to be sharing the heart of the Father with us this morning. And as he asked me, my mind began to go back, way back, because I know Lori different than many of you may know Lori. Just from her years of being here, I've known her since she's been here, and we've had different connections, and she's been a blessing in my life. But more importantly, she's been a blessing in many, many people's lives. Amen. And the gifts and the callings on her life that y'all get to experience this day, and some of you ladies will experience over this upcoming weekend, has been there for a long time, and that I've seen it in her when she worked alongside of me and her husband in our youth group, and we saw just what God was doing in her then. And so the things that's coming out of her now is things that's been in her, and I'm just so happy for her and so joyful for her because of this, because when you begin to step into the place that God has called you without regret, without compromise, and with full of confidence, you begin to do great things in the kingdom of God. And so as Lori Jones comes today also, it's interesting, I was praying with her husband this morning, that there's a movie that's come out the last several weeks, and it's called Wonder Woman. And I'm talking about a superhero this morning. But I want you to understand this, that it's taken the world by storm. But the reality is sometimes in the body of Christ, we are far behind where we're supposed to be. That we need to catch up. And what I really believe God is doing, and even in this highlight in this movie, is that I believe it's a time where Greg talked about giving, but the importance of receiving. And I think it's about time for the body of Christ to receive the place that God has with women throughout the body of Christ. That there's a powerful place that God has anointed women to be and to carry things of God unto his body. And a lot of times we've been put them on the back burner. But as Lori comes up, and I want you to stand and honor her, that you're not just honoring her, you're honoring what God is going to do within the body of Christ through women. He's been doing it, but it's going to be on a grand scale, because it is time for the Wonder Woman to step forth in the body of Christ and join the men as God intended and see things take place in our body. So without further ado, please stand up and give a warm welcome to Lori Jones.
Wow. Thank you. There's a big part of me that wants to, like, be all bashful and shy and cry when he says that, and there's a part of me that wants to be like, yes, I want to be Wonder Woman. But we know it's God. It's God. It's God in me. So up behind us, there's a slide, Joyful Hearts. We've talked about it several times. And at this point next Sunday, it will all be done, right? So we'll be sitting here and we'll be thinking about what we've experienced, and the women are still going to be all charged up. And I just want to challenge you ladies that it's going to happen regardless. And I really would like for it to happen with you here. So you don't have to sign up ahead of time. If you're nervous, you can just, oh my gosh.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Hi. Hey. I'm sorry. I didn't know anybody was here today.
Well, you, are you early or late or just got out of bed, or I'm not sure what we've got going on here?
No, honey. I am all put together.
Okay.
Yes. I am a complete package right here. Yes. Well.
And then some.
I'm sorry. I was getting ready for Joyful Hearts Conference. And I was going to get a front row seat.
We've got our camp out. The
line's
starting already. I was
going to get a front row seat because I heard that there were, you know, have you ever been to like Tropical Smoothie and everybody's outside waiting and waiting and waiting? Well, I was going to do that for the conference. So okay. Anyway, so did I interrupt you?
No, not at all. We were just getting started.
Okay. All right. You look familiar. Is that your picture on that thing?
I think it is.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Okay. So what are you doing here? What are you doing?
Well, we're actually going to go ahead and have church today there.
Your what?
We're going to have some church today.
My hair is falling
So today's
off.
Sunday, and we have church. Then we'll be setting up for conference.
Oh.
And then conference starts
so
actually
I can come
on
tomorrow
Thursday.
And get a front row seat?
Or you could come Thursday.
Because I brought stuff in here. Do you want to see what I brought?
Oh.
Okay, I won't show you. But look at my bag. I got it at Brahms. We love ice cream. You guys like ice cream? Okay.
We're not serving ice cream at conference. We are serving cupcakes, though.
You're probably too young, but do you remember when I used to be here at Central Doris? You remember Doris and Ethel?
I don't know. Do you guys remember
Doris and Ethel? Well, you know, Ethel's, you know, she's kind of, you know, got a new thing going on, but I have more hair, so I'm going to wear a better hair next time. But anyway, so, you know, I kind of looked kind of frumpy in the past, but I'm kind of like hippie-fied now, and I'm hoping that you like my new outfit.
There's nothing frumpy about it.
There's not? So, okay, all right. I'm ready. I'm blingy. I've got lights going
it's
on.
It's hippie. It's shiny.
Do you
want to
see what I got
pink?
In here?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know what I got? I got me one of those Mi phones. It's awesome, and I can, like, text people.
You take selfies on your Mi phone?
Yes,
and send
them
to selfies. To U-book?
And, no, I FaceTube. I FaceTube,
oh,
too.
FaceTube.
Yes, you guys ever FaceTube? It's awesome. Anyway, hi, Austin. Hi. Oh, I'm married. Never mind. I'm married. I forgot. All right. So anyway, I don't want to interrupt you anymore, but tell me about so I'll know what time to come for sure.
Okay, so not today. Okay. Not Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday.
All right.
Security, we just want to make sure that we open the doors at 5:30 on Thursday. All right.
Oh,
and
I'm
then
listening.
Conference start here at 7 on
seven.
Thursday.
Okay, I'll
so
come
you
back.
You can have a front row seat.
Do you want me to sit right here looking
I
like this while you're preaching?
That would be not disruptive at all.
Okay, no. All right. I think I'm going to sit by Austin when I come back. Okay. All right, well, I'll be back, okay? All right, bye.
Okay, thank you. I don't know, it might be the better half of Doris and Ethel. I'm not for sure there. All right. Okay, I think I need to pray. Dear Lord Jesus, settle us down that we could have just a few minutes to hear from you, God. Lord, I thank you for our pastor and the vision and the leadership that he set forth in this church, God. And I humbly submit to his authority, God, and to your authority, Lord. And I'm asking that you would anoint this position, God, that for the next few minutes while I'm standing in your pulpit, in your church, ministering to your people, God, that it would be your voice and your heart, and Lord, that you would use me just as a mouthpiece and a smile to teach them and empower them for a word that you have for them today. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first thing I did when I woke up this morning was I rolled over and I tapped Jake, and I was like, would you pray for me, please? So the first thing I had was a covering from my husband this morning, and the second thing I had, I picked up my phone and I had a text from Pastor wanting to make sure that he texts really early. It was like 5:15. I did not get it at 5:15, but he just said, make sure that you're loving my people for me today. So he sends his love, and he loves you, and he will be back next week. All right, Miss Vicki, let's get going here. So it was about a month ago that Pastor asked me if I would speak today, and I think maybe he was expecting me to just do a double dip of what I'm going to be speaking on Saturday at Joyful Hearts, and that might have been easy, but that's not what I was supposed to do. So you guys are getting your own entirely new word, and you're not getting any sneak peeks for what we're going to be talking about Saturday, so ladies, you got to be here. So lots of times when I have an idea, I have this book that I use. It's called The Power of Speaking God's Word. It's a purple little book that Joyce Meyer put out. We've got them back at the book stand. And so what I like to do is I had an idea, and I just went and I just wrote down some words. Or obviously, we're not going to cover them all today, but that's where I started. I want you guys to see those words and see like my train of thinking about change and patience and tenacity and being wholehearted and being committed. And I tell you what, We talked about Vacation Bible School. Oh, I forgot something. So how many weeks ago was VBS? The 3 weeks, maybe? I don't know. But the theme was Fun Makers VBS. And every night at the closing, Whitney and I would have some sort of like creative activity to show the kids that they were made by God for a purpose and on purpose. And so this, my content today actually came from a little snippet from VBS, and I just want to share it with you guys real quick. Is that okay? Is that all right? It's a little bit of an object lesson. If Diana Parker was here, she would love it. All right, so here's a balloon, and today, for the sake of this object lesson, this balloon is going to represent us, okay? And this is me in my own strength, full of something. I don't know whether it's full of hot air or full of circumstances or full of hopes and dreams, but lots of times we have a vision and a goal of where we want to go, but we're alone, and we're not connected, and we're not tethered, and we're not committed. And so I'm standing here, and at VBS we said, we want this balloon to go over there, and here's what happened. Really? I'm gonna do that one more time. So we have this idea. I want to go here. I want to do here. I'm going to try harder. I'm going to use behavior modification. I'm going to use self-control. I'm going to try. And I didn't make it. Okay? So today, go ahead, Vicki, and put that next slide up there. Today I want to take us from the craziness of life that we live in, of the scribbles, of the flip-flop, of me trying to do it by myself, of me trying to put put forth my best effort. And I want to just show you guys a little something. Is that okay? I think I can. All right, is the balloon about the same size? Can you guys see this? This is not like a magic trick or anything, okay? This is like on science. It's you can find it on Pinterest, on YouTube. It's just called the balloon rocket. All right, so I'm just clipping that here to show you. Then what I'm going to do here is now I've got a vision and I've got a destination, but now I'm not going to do it by myself. So I'm getting connected here, whether it's through a local church or with some good friends, but I'm wrapping myself to something. And then, it's a straw. Not that you guys need to know all the secrets to the trick, but you might want to do it with your grandkids. All right, so I've got a straw here. This is really simple. I'm just getting connected. The only thing that's changed, the balloon's the same. The only thing that's changed is that now I'm connected, and there's a little bit of tension. There's a little bit of tension, and from point A to point B, I go exactly where I want to go. Is that okay? Can we talk about that? Okay. So really, that's kind of the basis and the content from the sermon, is that I want us to see the power of being connected, of having a vision, and of using what's already inside of you to propel you forward. Sometimes we use what's inside of us to send us on that crazy train, and I just don't believe that life is just crazy scribbles that don't make any sense. I believe that God has a plan, and that when we align our hearts with his plan and we stay connected and we don't flake out and we don't do things all by ourselves, that every decision that we make and every step that we take is his gentle way of guiding us to our plan. And you know, I believe that he's a good father, and the string that I used for that was fishing string and a straw. And once it got going, there wasn't really a lot of resistance and a lot of tension. But what if I would have used like yarn or like twine? Do you see how the results would be different? And so you also got to think about where you're making your connection to make sure that it's a God-centered connection that's not going to be stumbling through the process. All right, I got a little story I want to tell you. So go ahead, flip to the next one. The title of today's sermon is Vision, Direction, Commitment, and Decisions. So it's just us being mindful of our life's course, all right? So about 150 years ago, some pioneers, they set out on this journey. There was about 25 of them, and they got all their supplies, and they got a boat. They fundraised for years to take this trip. So they had all their supplies, they had everything that they needed, and they set out on the voyage across the ocean. And as you would imagine, the ocean's pretty wide, and there's a lot of challenges, and there's a lot of barriers, and there's a lot of obstacles. And they had to use and deplete a lot of the supplies that they had done. But, you know, they stayed the course, and their vision was successful, and they landed on the other side. And these 25 to 30 group of men with their wives and the children, they established a city. And after that journey, after the very first year, within the first year, they established a city, and they had a township. And in the second year, they decided that they should elect government officials. And so within the second year, they began building city government. And at year number three of having this big voyage and coming over, they introduced taxes. And they decided that they needed to fundraise to build roads and to go outside of their city. And at year number four, the people overthrew the government. And they said, why would we want to leave this city? Why would we want to spend our money and build roads and go out into the wilderness? And the same group of people that just 4 years earlier could have the vision to go across the ocean, they lacked vision, and it created such barriers and such boundaries and such obstacles they couldn't even build a road 5 miles outside of their city. What a tragedy. Right? Would you guys agree with that? Yes. So I want to be the kind of person that doesn't go through life without a vision. When I don't have a proper vision, I'm too easily discouraged. I don't believe that it's possible to happen. I'm like that empty balloon. When I don't have a vision of what I'm trying to do, I just get discouraged entirely too easy. So today, as we talk about vision, I want to introduce to you guys, I would say probably the most common scripture that people use about vision, and it is found in Proverbs 29:18. And it says, where there is no vision, people perish. Have you guys heard that quoted before? Yeah. In what content do we normally hear that quoted? Is it normally maybe like a church pastor wanting to talk about setting the vision for the church for the year? Without vision, people perish. I'm not discounting the word as it is, but I'm going to present a different idea of how to look at it today. Because it's quite possible that if you're thinking about yourself today and you're thinking about you're here and you want to get to there and you need a vision for that, I want to challenge you, what does vision mean? Is it your own hopes and dreams? Is that vision like to get a new house, to get a new car? Like what is that vision? And I want to challenge us that in this verse, in this content, as it was intended, the word vision is meant to be a word from God. That ultimately our vision is derived from revelation of the word of God. And that so when there is a lack of the word of God in your life, that's when people perish. And going a little bit further, it doesn't mean perish like choke out and die. The word perish means continually make bad decisions until inevitable destruction is coming your way. So I want to just show you a couple of different ways. This is the NIV translation. I want to show it to you in the NIV translation. It, in the deeper format, it actually says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. And then why don't we finish the verse when we quote it to people, right? It says, but happy and blessed is the one who heeds wisdom and heeds instruction. I'm going to just review just a couple of other translations. The New Living Translation says, where people do not accept divine guidance, they will run wild. Does running wild sound like a profitable way to get from where you start to what your vision of your destination is? Where there is no revelation, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. Where there is no vision, the redemptive power of God, people will perish. So I want to present to you today that as I am challenging you guys to be connected with a vision, I'm not telling you to make up your own lofty dreams, although it's good to have some, and I have some of my own. I know that my vision is ultimately found in the revelation of the Word of God. So point number one is that get a vision, but make sure that it's grounded in the Word of God. I want to read a couple of scriptures in Amos chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. The days are coming, declares the Sovereign Lord, where I will send forth a famine through the land, not of food or of thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. And people will stagger from sea to sea, and they will wander north to east, searching for the word of the Lord, but it will not be found. Now, the good news is this is Old Testament word. So when we're searching for the word of the Lord, it will be found. And we don't have to wander from east to the west searching for the word of the Lord. But this is a very clear revelation that without it, we're that untethered balloon operating in craziness, not having a fulfillment in our vision. And one more example is in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions. And so we have such a luxury that our phones, you can have 19 different translations on the Bible right here. But when these verses were crafted in the Old Testament, there were times when if you weren't around somebody with a scroll that could read, you could not have the word of God. It was not easily accessible. And so people were perishing because they didn't have the word hidden in their heart. They didn't have the Holy Spirit to lead them and guide them into all truth and all righteousness. And they didn't have the word inside of them. And because of that, they were wandering and they were going crazy and they were not following any plan or any structure. And guys, as a church, I want to present to you that your life, your marriage, your relationships, your job, your career, your finances, it does not have to be crazy. God has a plan. And if we can stay connected to his vision, and we can know that that vision is ultimately your own private, personal revelation of the word of God, that you have the ability to prophesy. You know, prophesy is literally just speaking the word and believing that it's true. There is a time when prophecy means seeing things and calling things that be not as though they were, but prophecy, teens, you guys can prophesy. You can open up your Bible and you can say, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not belief. And it's prophesying into your life. I can speak over my children. I can tell them that they are the mind. They have the mind of Christ, and that they are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I can prophesy into them. And that is creating that vision. That is casting that vision over that life. That is giving them something to be tethered towards and to be moving. I had that. Oh, good. Phew. Okay, it's coming out okay. I had that happen to me when I was like 7 or 8 years old. And you know, sometimes really what makes a true prophecy true to me is that you believe it. I really think that there's such a thing as a self-fulfilled prophecy because somebody spoke it, you grabbed a hold of it, and you believed it. And so when I was young, I don't remember who the speaker was, I sure wish, but I'm looking at my mom, she probably didn't remember either. But we had a guest speaker at my grandma's church, wasn't even in my home church, and I was little, and he just stuck his finger in my face, and he said that I was called to shine among women. That was it. Simple as that could be. But you know what? That was like mine. And my mom heard it, and she spoke it into me. My grandma heard it, and she spoke it into me. And so for the past 20 to 30 years, I've been believing that I'm called to shine. So how cool is it that conference this year, and I'm delivering a message in front of a billboard that says shine? I'm like, thank you. Wow, God, right? But guys, you can create, you know what? That guy could have heard from God. It absolutely, I believe it was. Or he could have just said that to be nice. But what made it true is that I believed it and that it was confessed into my heart and I received it. Greg, I received it. I expected it to happen. I thought at one point I probably was going to be Miss America and that was going to be how it was going to be fulfilled. Turns out that wasn't the plan. Didn't win the pageants. Didn't do that. No. But what makes it true in your life is when you see that vision and then it lines up with the word of God, right? So if you're using this example and you're thinking about this like in a marriage relationship, make sure that both of your strings are headed in the same direction, right? That you're in unity in your vision. So if my vision is to be debt-free and Jake's vision is to get a new Tahoe, our balloons might not be traveling in the same direction, right? So as you're thinking about your vision, really, really make sure that it's in unity with those around you, that you're centered with God-fearing people that are going to be going in the same direction, and that it's a God-based vision. So we're so lucky to have the word available to us. Let's not take it for granted. I've got one more for you in the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Doesn't mean that God wants to destroy you for not reading the Bible. It means that when you forget to position yourself with daily word, then just because we're flesh, just because we're in a sinful nature, just because the devil wins sometimes, we're going to make bad choices and we're going to make mistakes. And if we constantly just veer off the path a little bit, ultimately Hosea 4:6 is going to be true. Not because God doesn't love us, not because God's mean, not because he's not a good father. It's because we haven't had the word in us and we haven't allowed the word to shape our lives. And without the word shaping our lives, we're like that empty balloon, kind of going a little bit crazy. I'm gonna jump outside my notes because it just fits really perfect right here, so that's okay. Have you guys heard the law of 1 degree of difference? It talks about, you know, if you're flying an airplane and you think that you're 1 degree off, it's really not that big of a deal. But how, if over a course of a time you don't bring correction to that, what a significant risk that is. So I'm just going to read you just a couple of things right this. Consider this. If you're going somewhere off course by just 1 degree, 1 foot off, you'll miss your target by 0.2 inches. In 1 foot, you'll miss it by 0.2 inches. Okay, that's okay. Maybe we can handle that. But, so that's maybe like a day without the word. It's like 2 inches, 0.2 inches off. Okay, but let's go a little further. You've been 3 days without the word. And now your grace has turned into impatience. And your sweetness has turned into sourness. And you're just a little bit on the bitter and cranky side. And now you're, after 100 yards, you're going to be off 5.5 foot. After a mile, you'll be off 92 feet. And if you're traveling from San Francisco to LA, you're going to be off by 6 miles. So, like, this is kind of like self-correction, right? So if you go a little bit this way and you correct, then you're going to be okay. But the longer that you go without that word, the longer that you go without tethering yourself to the vision that God has for your life, I'm going to skip down to the last one. It says, if you're traveling around the globe from Washington, D.C., you would miss by 435 miles, and you would end up not in Washington, D.C., but in Boston. If you're going to the sun, you'd miss it by over 1.6 million miles. 1 degree. It's pretty important that we don't leave it to ourselves to think, well, I've got enough of the word in me. I don't need to read the word today. Has anyone ever done that? I can just listen to some praise and worship music. It'll cover me. That's my 1 degree, is that maybe I listen to a podcast or I listen to some worship, but I don't have the word in me. And ultimately, the words of Hosea 4:6 are true, that my people will perish without the knowledge of the word of God. So that's point number one. It sounds a little down, okay? So we're going to bring it back up a little bit, okay? Because the good news is that when you get in the word, then good things happen, okay? So that was like the bad news. If you're not in the word, then you might make poor decisions and you might not have such an easy life. But here's the good news. Psalms 90, verse 17. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us and establish the work of our hands for us. Does that sound like good news? So to me, that sounds like that when I'm rooted and I'm grounded in the word of God, then kind of like what he says, that he's going to make the desires of my heart his desires, then suddenly I'm doing God's work. I'm not off doing what Lori wants to do, but I'm aligned and my heart is fixed and my heart is steady and I'm ready and I'm equipped. And now all of a sudden, I have the favor of God resting upon me and he's establishing the work of my hands. There's a thing called the cumulative effect. And when I looked it up, I was thinking of like add upon, a cumulative effect. Like you accumulate a lot of rain. But it's actually a medical term. And the cumulative effect in regards to medicine is when someone takes the same medication over and over, I would think in my natural mind it would not work as well because of the routine exposure. But the cumulative effect describes that it works better because your body has received it. It's left some residue and some deposit in there. So when you're taking tomorrow's Benadryl, you still have a little bit of today's Benadryl in there, and it works a little bit better. And so I'm thinking, instead of my degree of separation and worrying about being miles and miles off, I want to operate in the cumulative effect, that my word is going to receive into my heart and be like on fire, and it's going to take root, and it's going to grow, and it's going to produce, and I'm going to operate in favor, and I'm going to operate in mercy, because I'm daily in the word. And I'm operating in the effect of yesterday's word is lining up with today's word, and tomorrow's word is lining up with yesterday's word. And when I'm daily in the word, I am refreshing my heart, I am restoring my soul, and I am readjusting my fleshly mind. The favor of the Lord will establish your work. This is not a new one for any of us. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I like to sometimes delight in like ice cream. But sometimes I don't even know how to begin to delight myself in the Lord. But I know one thing is that it takes time. It takes intention. It takes quietness and focus. And that it's pretty much impossible to delight yourself in the Lord when you're doing 15 other things. So if I could challenge you to delight yourself in the Lord, I would say quiet yourself before the Lord. Turn off your mind, turn off your phone, and just read the word and worship him. A great way to begin to delight in him is to thank him for what he's already done. Just spend some time praising him. Lord, I thank you for the goodness that I have in my life. I thank you for my health. I thank you for my kids. I thank you for my family. Just spend some time thanking him and cultivating that content spirit and that gratitude, and all of a sudden you're going to get happy, and you're going to find that you're delighting yourself in the Lord. And the cool thing about the Bible is that there's like these commas, and then there's this and, right? So like Deuteronomy is full of, Deuteronomy 28 is like, if this, then that, if this, then that. So if we delight ourselves in the Lord, then he will give us the desires of our heart. Now, it doesn't mean that he is like a genie in a bottle that we rub out and he gives us our wishes. It means when we delight in his presence and when we are with him, then suddenly what is in my heart is what God wants to do through me and in me. And that's like not scary anymore. I used to come up with these things and I'm like, I would be scared to even pray about it because I'm like, I don't know if this is me. I don't know if this is selfishness. I don't know where this is coming from. But when you are delighting yourself in the Lord and he is in your heart, then the things that he births into you aren't scary because he's going to give them to you and he's going to equip you to do them. Commit your ways to him, trust him, and he will do it. Be still and wait patiently before him. So we delight, we commit, we trust, but then is it over? No, then the cycle starts again because then we have to be still and we have to wait patiently for him, which is going to lead back to us delighting in him. Can you guys see that that's a cycle? It's a cycle that we need to operate in. And that's what keeps us from having those desert wildernesses experiences. The next one I want to review is in Psalms 37:23. The Lord makes firm the step of those who delight in him, and though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him. Does that feel good? Right? You guys are so quiet out there, but like I read a verse like that and I'm like, I just want the pressure to be off of me and back on God for what he already did. And really the only thing to do that is just to be near to him, to be in his presence and to be simply believing that that when I delight in God, he's going to make my steps firm. And even though I might stumble, I'm not going to fall. Even though I might have some short-term failures, I'm not going to fail. I was looking up some quotes about success, and I read one, and I didn't think I wanted to use it, but the more that I read it and the more I thought about it, the more true it was. And it says, success is not defined by one decision. It's a culmination of many good decisions. But good decisions are learned from experience, and experience is learned from making bad decisions. And I thought, oh, that didn't really go with what I'm talking about. But then when you think about it, it absolutely does. And that it's that we have to have not just one decision to follow Christ, but decision after decision after decision after decision. And then we're learning along the way. So we make some bad decisions, then that's okay because we're tethered and we're connected. And so when you make a bad decision, you can't go off very far because you're going to bring that correction the next day when you come back. And so success can be defined as many good decisions. And making good decisions comes from experience and experience can be found by making bad ones. So don't be discouraged if you make a bad decision. It just means that you're on your way to gaining experience to making good ones. All right. So have we got the vision part captured, covered? Vision. I don't. I have a couple more scriptures. Hold on. I'm just now opening my notes. No, I'm just kidding. In this setting, I'm wanting the vision to be paralleled with the word that it's a revelation from God, and it's the speaking and the study of God's word. I do believe that there's times when vision is truly vision, right? Where maybe God would give pastor a vision of a new church location, and if he knows that's from the Lord, then that vision that God has given him is also going to be what propels him forward. And so in explaining that I want our visions to be word-centered and word-based and God-centered, I don't want to discount the truth that sometimes God really does reveal things in a prophetic nature that is really outside of our own human mind. So I did just want to clarify that. When vision is really vision, I want to read Habakkuk 2:1-3. And it says, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts, and I will look to see what he says to me, and when he calls, I will answer. For the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on the tablets so that when the angel runs through with it, everyone will be able to see. For the revelation awaits appointed time. It speaks not of the end, and it is not false. Though it will linger, you must wait for it will certainly come, and it will not delay. So when God gives a vision, and we're talking about a prophetic vision where he's imparted something into your spirit that you know it is true, then keep it in front of you. Then have a grandma that says, you are called to shine. Then have a mom that every time something happens, she says, oh, you see, that's God. He's setting you up. That's God calling you to shine. Have that in your life, that if you've got a vision or a word that's been spoken over you, that it will empower you to move towards it. I want to read another one out of Acts. Acts chapter 16, verse 9 and 10. During the night, Paul had a vision. Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging. And then in quotations it says, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after Paul had seen the vision, he got ready and he left at once. And he concluded that he was going to do what God called us to do, and he was going to preach the gospel to him. So sometimes receiving that vision is going to empower you to move. It's going to give you confidence. And so whether it's a word-based vision that is just coming out of you diligently seeking the word, or whether it's a vision that God has given to you or someone in your life, that vision is supposed to get you to be able to believe that you can cross an entire ocean. Without it, you won't even believe that you could build roads to take you 5 miles out into wilderness. Which type of a course and a path do you want to have your life on? Mountain moving, ocean crossing, faith believing, storm settling vision, or word empty, wilderness retreating, afraid to go, afraid to move, afraid to fail, lack of vision, Habakkuk 4:6, we're perishing, right? And that gets to be our choice. That gets to be our choice. All right, so we've talked about the vision part. The other thing I want to talk about is the connection. And if I could just say this, and you guys are good because you're here, stay connected to a local church. Period. There's things that you need that you cannot get unless you have a pastor that is seeking the Lord and speaking into your life. There is connection and community and fellowship and relationship and strength that you need to receive from us. And there's things that you have that you need to give us. There's smiles and hugs that you give. There's recipes that you know that you need to teach other people. And we need to be connected to each other. I do not want to be that balloon that I spend all my time mustering up my own strength and my own efforts and my own thing, but because I'm not connected to anybody, I don't have the resources. Come on, our church has resources to do stuff. You think we could be putting on this conference just a bunch of 16 women trying to do stuff? No, We need the resources and the connection that being connected to a local church can do. You know, the city is funding over $8,000 of this conference through a grant to help us put this on to deliver the Word of God. Do you think that we would qualify to apply for such a thing like that if we were just 15 women out and not connected to anything? No, we couldn't even begin to fathom doing this. You think we could do this without this building, without this air conditioning, without Keith building signs like that, without our sound guys, without people, you know, cleaning the church and having restrooms? Guys, there's things that we can't do without each other. I can't fulfill the plan God has for my life without you. I can't. And I don't want to, by the way. I like you guys a lot. And I want to stay connected so that when things are crazy, I'm not the one out there doing this. I've got a church family and a church body to come alongside and keep me going in the right direction. So connect to your local church. So that balloon, I connected it to the straw. You know, the word says that a tree planted by a water, right? So be like the tree planted by the water. The tree doesn't get to choose where it's planted, but you guys do. You have a choice where you're sitting this morning, and you could be out eating Golden Corral. You could be at home in bed. You could be in another church, but you have chosen to be here. And that's your step. That's you taping your balloon to the straw, attaching your straw to the connection that's going to take you where to go because you are committed and you are connected. So I just want to challenge you guys, don't flake out. Like the one Sunday that you miss is the one Sunday that had exactly what you needed to hear. And I know that we're busy and we have vacations and I want to go and I want to do and we stay out late the night before, but guess what? We don't start church till 10:30, people. Let's get here, right? Even when you're tired, come on. You got to be here. You got to stay connected. You can't miss out because you get to decide. And I want you all, I want you to be planted. I want you to get the nutrients that pastor labors and he seeks the Lord and he's on his face for us week after week after week. And if we're not here, we're going to miss out. All right, then the next thing I want to talk about is that we need to change our minds. And Mardell told us that we could, right? Just last week, she said 7 minutes of prayer every day actually in PET scans and CAT scans changed the makeup of our human brains. So this is possible, right? We need to change our minds to start thinking where every short-term decision is made with the idea that you have a long-term decision in mind. And just recently, I've really been like, it was a year ago that Rochelle was here at our last Joyful Hearts conference, and like right about right here, Rochelle does not know me. Okay, she was our speaker from Louisiana, and she came 2 years in a row. And so when she met me as Lori, the praise and worship leader. She'd never heard me speak. She didn't know that was a dream of mine. She didn't know any of that. And as conference is closing, she's standing right here, and she's a fiery little thing, and she, like, began to prophesy over me, and she said that she was transferring her mantle. And I'm like, I don't even know what that means. Ah! And so for the past year, you know, I've been thinking about that, and, like, you know, I wanted it to start, like, 5 days after conference, really, to be honest. I went to pastor's house, and I was all, like, nervous, and I'm thinking, I'm just going to tell him. I'm just going to tell him it's time. Like, Rochelle said, the mantle's passed. I don't know what it means, but I got to tell my pastor. And you know, he was definitely not discouraging, but in his wisdom and maturity, he just kind of said, you know, transferring the mantle probably looks a lot like you just doing what you're doing now. That was kind of disappointing. But, you know, is there some truth to that? That sometimes just being consistent and being faithful to what you're doing is a lot like being moved along and propelled along your journey. And so I wanted to, as a person, think, okay, how do I begin to make every decision about the idea that I am desiring for the Lord to use me. I am wanting to be, you know, asked to come speak at women's teas and at women's groups and different things like that. Like, how do I do that? And it became clear to me that I needed to be prepared. I had two different churches call me and say, we heard you speak. Do you have something you could send us? And I was like, let me call Keith, right? So I wasn't making decisions that were getting me prepared for what I was asking God to do in my life. It's like a catcher standing behind the pitchers or behind the home plate saying, bring it to me, you know? No, what does a catcher do? A catcher needs to get in position to receive. He's got to get low. He's got to get low. He's got to get ready. He's got to have eye contact. He's got to be ready to receive what's coming. And here I was saying, Lord, I want everything that you have for me, but I wasn't willing to do the work to get ready. Vicki, will you, I just launched a website on my 38th birthday, and it was kind of a scary thing because I have these little whispers inside my head that says, who do you think you are? Nobody wants to hear what you have to say. You should post more pictures of your kids and less stuff about God. Oh, that's not it. Can you actually type it in the website, like to bring it up? And so I decided that I really needed to get serious about this. And if I was seriously going to, you know, want to be a speaker, that here I'm going to have the opportunity to speak to 400 women at Joyful Hearts. And if anybody happened to ask me about myself, what could I do? Give them a smile? So I had to get ready. And so, guys, I'm just sharing this with you so that you can see a part of my dream. And so I have a blog now, and I'm doing that. And every decision that I make has me thinking, this is where I want to go, and this is what I want to do. And this is why I can't do that. Last night was my 20-year class reunion. It would have been really easy to do some things that would have not enabled me to be in a good position to be here today. But I had to make last night's decisions with today in mind. And I'm challenging you guys to live your way, live your life in a way that if you're seeking God and you're saying, God, I want a healthy marriage, something as simple as that. You can't lose your patience 15 times with your spouse and ask God to give you a healthy marriage. You've got to take ownership of your own mind and your own emotions and your own reactions and your own ability to roll your eyes. And you've got to say, I'm making every decision that moves me closer to a healthier marriage. Because if I'm not, it's moving me further away. And so actually, that's the day number two, the starting is hard, start anyway. Vicki, you can go ahead and take that off. But that blog is absolutely about the point that I'm just talking about, is that there comes a time when you've got to say enough is enough. I mean, I work for the local YMCA. I see it all the time. People come in, I want to lose weight. Absolutely. Do I believe you can? Absolutely. I think everyone is capable of having a healthy lifestyle. But you have to decide it in the morning when you get up and you choose what you eat for breakfast. Then you have to decide it again at about 10:30 when you decide, are you going to have a Swiss cake Debbie roll or are you going to have some yogurt, you know? And you've got to make those decisions throughout your entire day. And it's not just one thing, right? Because being fit does not just mean that you work out, or being fit does not just mean that you eat healthy. It's about what you eat, what you drink, how you sleep, what you do with your physical body. It literally encompasses who you are and what you do. So if you have a vision, and just fitness is just an easy thing to use. All right, what about you want to be debt-free? You want to be free from addiction. You want to stop the gossipy spirit that you have inside of you. I don't know, what's your thing? Don't shout it out at me, that'd be awkward. But we all have something, right? We have something that we're asking God to help us do. And if you're going to have that vision and you're going to be connected to the local church, we're going to be really helpful in that journey, but we can't do it all for you. You're going to have to do some of it. And so when you have your vision and you get connected, then the next step is that you've got to start changing how you think, how you act, what you read, what you watch, what you pray, and what you do. And you know what? I was thinking about this the other day. Like, I actually have a girlfriend that I've been wanting to talk to about getting saved, but it doesn't make any sense because she doesn't do anything bad. And so, you know, not doing bad things does not mean that it's empowered you to do the good things. Okay, so you can watch, like, you've decided that you're going to be free from bad television, right? And you're not watching any of the bad shows anymore, and you're like totally like Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune, and Leave It to Beaver. Like, you're totally good on what you're putting into your mind. That does not equip you to do one thing in the kingdom. And so sometimes we just think that it's good when we can clean up our behavior and modify the way we're acting enough to not do the bad things. And really, if you're wanting to move forward with God, you're going to have to start doing some good things too. And so now maybe instead of watching, you know, Wheel of Fortune or Jeopardy, you're going to have to go ahead and go ahead and delight yourself in the Lord and spend some time in the Word. All right, are we doing okay? All right, so every decision moves me closer towards my goal or further away. And then I want to introduce you guys to a word. It's called long-term obedience. Huh? Does that sound like comfortable or what? I want us to develop long-term obedience. It's the fact that when you're in a marriage and you're faithful for a really long time, it doesn't feel like a dog on a chain anymore, because that's where you want to be. There's no place I would rather be. That's why we sing that song. There's no place I'd rather be than right here in your love, with your spouse, in your church, wherever. And you know, there's a time when we try to change what we want by restricting our behaviors. I use the example of a dog on a chain. If you have a dog on a chain, and then 15 foot, there's a piece of meat, the nature of the dog is never going to cause him to stop wanting that meat. So he is always going to be going after that and going after that and going after that. He'll break the chain, he'll eat through the chain, he'll dig a hole, he'll jump a fence, he'll do all those things. And so really that's how we struggle sometimes when we try to do our own behavior modification and self-control, is that we see this sinful thing that we want and we're like, don't want that anymore, don't do that, don't do that, don't want that. And that really isn't effective. You know how you really break through those strongholds is you get in the Word, you delight yourself in the Word, and then you say, Lord, change the desires of my heart. God, there is impure desires inside of me. Lord, I have a sinful nature. I still do things that are wrong. I still see things that are wrong. I still struggle with things that are wrong. God, please uncover this darkness inside of me. Shine it up, polish it up, and get it out of me so that instead of me trying to operate in self-control and behavior change all the time, God, I can be free. Because freedom means that you can live without restraint, because there's not anything in you that wants to be bad. I'm sick of Christians acting like they're just trying to be good all the time. The fact of the matter is that when we're close enough to God, we're good from the inside out, and we are free from the chains of the law. We don't have to be held under law because we're motivated by love. It's His perfect love that draws us to repentance. It's the love that causes us not to sin against our brother. It's my love for Jake that helps me to not do the stupid things I used to do, because I love him and I don't want to hurt him. And when we expose ourselves repeatedly, cumulative effect of being in the Word, in the presence, around like-minded Christian believers that are going to keep us moving towards our goal, then suddenly all that same energy that was inside of the balloon, instead of it being that random chaos effect, it's suddenly the same impact puts out a totally different output, and now we're going somewhere, and we're moving. You guys want to do that? All right, well, I want to challenge you that you become what you repeatedly do. You become what you repeatedly do. Failure is not a single cataclysmic event. You don't fail overnight. Instead, failure is a few errors in judgment repeated every day. And on the flip side of that, success doesn't happen overnight. But success comes when you have a vision that is aligned with the Word of God. You stay connected to the local church and to like-minded Christian believers that are going to help you in that. And then you change the way that you think and the way that you act, not out of self-control, but you allow God to begin to cultivate the fruits of the Spirit inside of you. And that's going to propel you forward. So that in the end, wrapping this up, you find, you follow, and you finish. You find your vision. You follow the course. You're a good soldier. You're not giving up until you've seen it done. And you're going to finish strong. You're going to finish strong. All right. I tell you what, I'm going to close with one last verse here. It's 2 Timothy, and it's chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. And it says, "Join me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ. For no one serving as a good soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please him, his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. And the hardworking farmer should be the first to receive the share of crops. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into these three things, into these things." And I just want to point out real quick, a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. And as I'm challenging us to stay the course and not quit, I want to remind us that a soldier, all of them have in common, they all have endurance, discipline, patience, training, hard work, and expectations. All right? And he is telling us, be like the soldier, be like the athlete, be like the farmer. But you know what? The soldier, they're trained. They're obedient. They take commands. They understand the rank. They get up early. They expect war. They fight. You know, the athlete is determined, and they deprive themselves of themselves all the time, right? So the athlete understands that in order to have success, sometimes you have to make sacrifices of what you thought you wanted to do. And the farmer, I don't know anyone that gets up earlier except for pastor, and those farmers. Farmers, they are disciplined. They get up early. They stay consistent. They plant. They expect. They plan their life around something they can't even see because they know the harvest is coming. And if we're going to start moving towards the vision, your vision, okay, leave it to pastor to set the vision for our church. Wives and husbands, I challenge you, get a vision for your family. Moms, get a vision for your kids. Teenagers, get a vision for your future. Seek the Lord. Ask him to reveal a vision for your life and know that it's as simple as staying committed to his word and then staying connected to a local church that can help you get there and changing the way that you think, where every decision that you make is not taking you further from, but taking you closer towards. I believe that you guys can find and follow and finish. As we close today, I just would like to invite anybody. Maybe you need to rededicate. Maybe there's some ongoing head-slapping sin that you'd like to lay down at the altar this morning and ask God to empower you to overcome. Or maybe you haven't yet been saved and you'd like to do that this morning. Whatever it is, I just want to open up these altars to you and let you know that this is a safe place and that we have people here that are wise and that are compassionate and that would love to pray with you. So if you need anything from the Lord this morning as they sing this last song, I invite you down to come. And if you're a first-time attender, I just want to thank you. Pastor will be here next week. And thanks for listening and loving me and being a church that really wants to hear the word, that they don't really care who it comes from, that you're just a church that wants to receive. And I just appreciate you for being that kind of people. I love you.